First on our agenda is public comment. We have one person here from the public. This would be a time for you to.
We can defer that to the other commissioners get here. You have a conversation with them too. Might be more productive.
Okay, and just I just need to make one thing kind of clear, and that is that in the public comment section, we are constantly, we're always trying to meet the full extent of the law and not just part of it. And part of the problem, we're constantly being warned by our attorneys that public comment,
state of public comment.
We can't really have discussion in public comment because it's not an posted, if we have discussion, it's not a posted agenda item.
It is on there.
Public comment is.
Oh, no, not public comment, but I just.
So we have to, we just have to be a little careful about that. And so there's ways to communicate individually or after with other members, but in the public comment section.
Basically, you can make comments and then the board typically will take it under advisement.
Yeah, we just can't respond to comments in a public meeting, right? If there's a quorum present. Okay, so nothing then at this point in public comment?
So if we can make public comment, well, it was my understanding so that either Commissioner Harvey or Ebert may comment on my behalf or appeal on my behalf for my concern. Maybe I should talk to them when they get here. If we could.
Let's see what happens when they get here. If there's something on the agenda that makes sense, or else we could talk afterwards individually where we're not in the quorum. Okay, all right.
Yeah, to be determined, I guess.
Okay, thank you. We're in public comment.
Okay.
Anybody? Okay, you're not. Okay. I didn't know that was somebody who wanted to comment.
Oh, he will. Comment,
so.
Later.
All right, we're going to hear a lot from him, huh?
Yes.
All right, so seeing no public comment then, we will move to our consent items, which are the request for approval of district bills to be paid.
Okay, you might want to wait for Harvey and them to do that. I just flew in from Paris yesterday. I have not gone through these things, so I would have to abstain on a vote. I can't vote yay if I haven't even looked at them. So can we reshuffle consent till you have somebody
sure.
else for a quorum? I'm sorry.
You bet. Okay.
My jet set lifestyle, I'm really sorry.
Well,
okay.
we have a quorum.
What's that, Bob?
We have a quorum. I move we accept the consent items as identified.
Oh, that's true. Two of these.
Yeah, you can just abstain.
Okay,
so,
you're right. Sorry.
Well, let's do that because we're.
You're right, Bob.
As we move on, there's not much else,
okay.
so we don't need them here either. So
that's fine. You're
so
right, Bob.
It's request for approval of district bills to be paid. The warrants number 300 through 313, the amount of 124,262.17, and request for approval of minutes for the meeting held on September 18th of 2017. Request to ratify the payment request for Greg Chambers and Sons for $42,450. Those are the consent items. We have a motion from Trustee Barrett. Second, do you want to second it or do you want me to? I'll second that motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
I'm just abstaining.
With Trustee Reynolds abstaining, it passes. To item D. With Rachel, is that where you want to go next, Paul? Okay, summit annexation.
Okay, yeah, I can be brief. The first two items were items that were brought last month that we kind of deferred. The summit annexation, we got their petition just before the last meeting, and so we hadn't had time to go through and really make sure that it was compliant. And so we have since done that. And the next step on that was to send out the certification letter to them just saying that it met the requirements. You guys voted last month to allow us to do that review and to move forward with that, assuming that all looked well. So Carrie sent out a letter to them saying all looks good. The next step on that one is to have our public hearing because they were not able to get the 75% landowner threshold or whatever, and so that goes along with but the next one, the annexation of Sheep Creek. We also brought that up last month, but we decided not to act on it because you're supposed to have the public hearing within 45 days of that resolution, and we wanted to combine these all together since they have to be 6 p.m. Public hearings. So we would vote on that annexation today, do that resolution which Carrie has. and then get them, and then we'll get them both scheduled. So I don't know if we need to have a discussion of the dates. I know we kind of talked about that last time, right? Or is that already scheduled, the date?
It went out on the texting too, but it's scheduled for the 13th of this month in 2 weeks.
Okay, so we just need a motion to approve the resolution that Carrie has for the Sheep Creek.
Bob, you saying something?
No.
Okay, sorry, I thought I had something there.
If we need a motion, I'd be happy to make that motion.
Okay. Bob's made the motion that we approve the resolution on Sheep Creek Phase 4. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Trustee Reynolds. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Let the record reflect that just prior to that vote, Elvis entered the building. That would be Trustee Ebert. All right. Rachel, were you then saying that we didn't need to take any action on the summit annexation?
No. So the next thing that we do there is we'll get we'll get the notices sent out for both, and they're kind of different requirements. So I'll work with staff on that.
Got it.
And just plan on that being a public hearing on the 13th, you said.
So. Okay. And then what about the 1989 bond issue?
Okay. So I think we briefly mentioned this last time, is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. we were contacted by a woman named Katie Walker from, I think it's GBC Capital in Colorado, bringing to our attention some outstanding bond amounts that we were honestly a little unaware of, and so we have since gone through diving deep into the records. Carrie has done a lot of work. She went through and went all the way back to the 80s in some respects to figure out what was going on here, and I think we figured it out. The good news is we are not in default on a bond, which is what we were first thinking, and it's certainly not in the amount. I mean, when this first was brought to my attention, it made it sound like we were in default on a $1 million bond, and luckily that is not the case. So what happened was, this was back in, this bond that is referenced was a 1989 bond. It was, I think, roughly 1.7 million.
1.7.
Mm-hmm. And it was paid for a while, and then I guess we did default or came near to default. I don't know the exact circumstances. But we actually ended up entering into a settlement agreement with Zions Bank. And as part of that settlement agreement, it had numerous methods of us paying them back, including it looked like the district deeded over to them a bunch of property and sold off a bunch of lots that it owned, and some of that money was paid immediately, some of it had to be paid as those amounts were paid to us because we had some trust deeds on some of those properties. It looks like all that's been taken care of, but there was one last aspect of that settlement agreement, which was that for every new connection we make, $500 of that connection fee was to go to Zions. A similar arrangement was made with Cobabes at the same time, that $500 was to go with them, with each connection. So what this Katie Walker just came to me was trying to figure out where we were in terms of how many connections have we made. She had in her records that we had about, I think, 23,000. We had to do that until we reached $100,000. So she had in her records that we still had about 46 connections worth of installments to make. I went through our records, and the last thing I could find was our financial statement from 2012, which our auditor noted that we had 22,000, I think, outstanding. And so we're off a little bit on our numbers on how much we have left owing. But I mean, we're talking, I talked to Paul, and it sounds like we're making, you know, a couple connections a year. It's not like we have this huge outstanding amount that we owe them. And so Paul suggested that it would be beneficial to just settle this thing, give them one big lump sum just to get it off our backs. If you recall, I just mentioned that the similar arrangement was made with the Cobabes, and the Cobabe agreement that you guys entered earlier this year that Mark Anderson helped you negotiate, that absolved us of the requirement, the $500 per connection requirement for that side of it. we were unaware at that time that we also had a mirror image requirement to the Zions Bank folks. So that's what this is, and it would just be, do we want to throw a bunch of money at them to kind of get it off our backs and off the books and not an issue anymore? So Paul suggested that we make an offer to them of $15,000 as a payoff and settlement, releasing any other due amounts. It would be beneficial to them, you know, because otherwise they're only going to be paid $500 installments in very small increments over a long period of time, probably. So I made that offer to them contingent on the fact that, you know, we hadn't talked to the board about it yet, mm-hmm. but just to get their feelings on it. And
how good do we feel about the number that we owe them? We feel really confident about that number?
Yeah. Like I said, between what her records show and what our records show, we were like $1,000 or $2,000 off.
Okay.
We thought that we'd paid more. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the other thing we could do is we could get ticky-tacky and try to figure out and try to prove that those extra payments that they don't have record of us having made, but we have. At least our financial report in 2012 said that we had made those payments. But the overall obligation, I do feel, is valid.
Okay.
So it would either be an obligation, an ongoing obligation. I mean, that would just hang over your heads forever and ever. I mean, not forever and ever, but, you know, until you paid it off.
How is our, you know, I would say I don't dislike that plan as long as we have the cash to do it.
Yeah, and that's, you know,
if
I'm just...
If we have cash flow that will cover that, then I don't have a problem getting this, like you said, cleared. We don't have to worry about it again. But if we have a...
Right.
We're tight on cash flow, then paying out the $500 at a time over the next 10 years...
So that's up to you.
So what's the number again?
I
20-something thousand, 22,000?
My records show that we owe about 22. I think hers was that it was
23.
So maybe we're just off by 1,000.
Right, but paying that in sums of 500...
Yeah.
Connection is, you know.
Yes. However, the problem with doing it that way is that we'd somehow have to equal up with her and
reconcile.
Right. Plus, my record is as of 2012. Like, that's the last I could find any record.
That we made any payments.
But have we made any connections since then that we should have been paying on?
Oh, yeah,
that I don't know. You know.
Since 2012, we have.
Yeah. Exactly. I assumed so.
Okay.
So,
again, I think it's a matter of cash. If we have the cash, let's offer him less than what the full amount is, because obviously they're getting paid in full.
Right.
You know,
so Paul told me to offer 15, and I did that. I have not heard back. But I also, like I said, I offered that contingent upon you guys approving it. So, I mean, it wasn't set in stone or anything. I tried to get it prepared before today. I told them that we would really like to have this resolved by this board meeting. And
are they willing to take a lesser amount?
Well, that's my point, is she has not responded to me.
That.
So I, because she's not the decision maker, this woman.
Okay.
So I followed up with her on Friday and said, we've got this board meeting.
Yeah.
I really would like to get this resolved. And she said, I would too, but I haven't heard back.
Kind of it's a moot point if they're not willing to accept
so
that.
I said that, well, maybe we could go ahead and have my board approve, if you want to, you know, approve like a $15,000 payoff now, so that when I do hear back from them, we can finalize that and get it done without having to wait till the next board meeting. So that's up to you guys.
So let me fill in the rest of the blank. My thought was, relative to paying any of this obligation, I was greatly relieved to know that we're not in the hundreds of thousands or less. My thought and what's in the back of my mind is that we would use impact fee funds to pay this. This is truly an impact.
Mm-hmm.
This is lagoons for development. It's an impact thing. Our impact fee fund stands at around $300,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that as much as I'd rather not, to be rid of it, to not have, I mean, it's an audit thing, it's a bookkeeping thing, it's a research thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, those costs all combine over the time frame. Plus, I think I would have to be working with Alita also, because if I'm paying for lots that pay zero impact,
mm-hmm.
at this particular point, I'm going to say, I think that you're double dipping on this, and I don't want to get into that. I don't want to touch it. So from my standpoint, to be rid of it, and that we do have, I feel we do have the funds,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to, I stand behind my recommendation that we consider favorable.
Did you already offer them give them a settlement amount? Or
I mentioned to them 15, but I said it was entirely contingent upon talking to you guys and that you guys had not known about this. So it was more of a discussion starter point. I mean, we're not locked in on that by any means, is my point.
Are there any issues with having our bond application at this point, no matter how we roll with this issue?
I can't understand that.
Bob, we can't hear you. Hold on. Say it again, Bob.
Paul, are there any issues with this outstanding debt relative to clouding our bond application? That's going to be a big matter.
You know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you on that. Are there any issues regarding to our present bond issue? I would suggest to you, and Matt Millis is sitting in the room and he can probably answer it more authoritatively than I can, this would take a cloud away as opposed to creating a cloud.
Well, my feeling is that we authorize Rachel to negotiate this out, whether it's $15,000 or $23,000, it's a debt that seems to have validity. We need to clear this issue. And let's just resolve it. I would be comfortable letting Rachel go back and forth and satisfying this debt. Mm-hmm. All
right. So I guess I need to know what's my number, my max. Do you want me to try to stay underneath, or would you ultimately be willing to pay the entire debt amount just to be done with it?
I say offer them less.
I would be willing.
Well, I mean,
to
I would definitely offer less, but I'm saying if I'm negotiating, how high up do I have authority to go without
well,
having to come back?
The highest we're going
to
end up going
is the full amount of
23.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's more important to have this behind us than
okay.
it is to,
so,
to play around with it.
Right. So I'll try
absolutely.
To get it negotiated at a smaller amount, but if at the end of the day we just want to get it paid off, we'll pay it off. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Perfect.
Motion. You want to have a motion for that to that effect?
Sure.
Well,
go ahead, Bob.
Well, I move that we authorize Rachel to negotiate this outstanding debt up to the full amount, if necessary.
Okay. That's
second.
All I have.
Okay. Trustee Barron, Trustee Reynolds for a motion and a second there. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I will recluse myself because I wasn't here for the entire conversation, so... but that's just a matter of record.
Okay, so it appears to be unanimous with the one recusal of Trustee Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. To the next item on our agenda. We are a little ahead of 10:45. Do you want to go to them anyway? To him anyway.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
Matt.
And
okay.
It's just that you had him listed at 10:45. It wouldn't hurt if he goes earlier.
Oh,
right?
It would be wonderful.
Okay.
He would appreciate it.
Yeah. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Let me just hand out a few sheets here.
And Bob, everything that he's handing out, you have already, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. Now, just in case, for those of you that Matt Millis, Zions Bank, Zions Financial, Public Finance is what they're called, aren't you? He's been working on our rate study. He will also be continuing on to do the impact fee study for us after we get past this hurdle.
Sorry, that's a little small.
I think that's the same one.
That's why I brought my glasses.
Oh my gosh.
The fine print.
A little small? There is a larger one in there. That's this size right here.
Yeah,
oh, it folds out? Yeah, it folds out. So you can read it.
Oh, yeah.
There is
yeah,
a larger one in there.
It is much better.
As far as what's been going on, Matt and I have been going back and forth, and really this is a two-pronged approach here. And so the important thing is, number one, we needed to get to work the budget especially this year's budget, 2018's budget, and then look at it beyond it to whatever extent we could before we could get onto the rates. And then, of course, we went through the rate study, which Matt will present all of that information to you at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We have worked on this for a bit and gone through several different iterations and scenarios and looking at different levels of operation and maintenance expense as well as capital projects and so forth, and have come to this budget provided by Paul for 2018. And then moving forward, we looked at rates of growth and how many connections will you be anticipating for either in this Powder Mountain area or in the original district area to kind of establish our rates that we would look for from 18 out to about 2024. So let me start with this graphic here, if you have that. What this shows is the growth projections for both the well, it's actually the combined growth projections for Southern Powder Mountain as well as the original district. And so what we have here is the blue columns is the gradually increasing number of connected users over time. And so what that means is those are the connections that you are actually delivering water to that are paying for the full user rate. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, the red represents the reserved connections. And so you can see that with a pretty substantial bump in 2019, but then gradually tapering off out through 2031. And that basically means that the blue line increases by the decrease in the red line. As you take away reserved connections because you've now connected them, you've increased the number of connections. So one real pivotal part of this analysis that has changed the numbers a little bit from our last projections is now we've included, as you can see in 2019, phase two from Summit Powder Mountain. Uh-huh. That's a very substantial increase. What that represents, though, is you now have a much greater group of reservation fees that you will be collecting. And so what that does is it substantially increases the denominator when you look at the rate equation of costs over the number of connections that you provide. And so that has been a real, that is the driving factor in the numbers that we'll discuss today. And so bottom line is, we are hoping and planning for Summit Powder Mountain to come in with roughly 414 new equivalent residential units in about 2019. If that were to not happen.
So it comes, could we say that number again?
313.
Oh, sorry, 313. Yeah.
That's the phase two will serve commitment. Mm-hmm. 313.
Mm-hmm. 313, yes. Okay, so with the 313, we've also concluded 24 additional units coming into the original development area that were added to the reserve account.
Sorry, just real quick question. So yeah. You show then that the reserve, the non-connected, is coming on 2019 for the phase two. That's when we anticipate that they will be platted and paying non-connect fees at that time? Mm-hmm. Not 2018, but
2019. Okay.
Okay. I thought that we, because we gave them the will serve, that they were moving forward with the platting and getting all of that done with the county, that would be coming on in 2018.
I have not heard any rumors of them submitting any plats to the county,
okay,
or even having finished their definitive plan on what their phase two looks like. That's
okay,
to my knowledge.
Okay.
So I said, even if they had something today, I submit that the process to get vested it in the county will take a good portion, if not all of next year, to get it done.
Okay.
So Bob, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, my understanding was that with the issuance of the will serve letter for phase two, 313 ERCs, that one of the main drivers for Summit is that they'd be able to sell those lots. that they were looking at maintaining forward momentum. And in order to sell, they're going to have to be plotted, recorded, mm-hmm. and from our perspective, annexed. And they went from will serve letter to plotting within a year on phase one, if my recollection serves me. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's an open-ended question, but it's not a critical sort of discussion point, if you will. We'll just have to wait and see and hope for the best.
Okay. Just a question. I just assumed, like Bob, they would be coming on and mm-hmm. having everything platted so that they could move forward with the sales of them in 2018. But
this goes back to the fundamental problem that this board has and will continue to have as a district, is we do not have a representation from someone here to answer this question. So you're asking us to look at supposition, which does us no good. Until we have Summit here on the board, and Summit can give us what they're going to do, mm-hmm. we'll continue to make financial decisions based upon what we're guessing to do. We ask our financial analysts to do guessing on what we think, on what we heard, and we can't make, I think, reasonable or responsible decisions because we don't have someone here committing to give to 115 mm-hmm. reservations next year. And I don't know why we continually fight against having someone here that can actually be held accountable, but also can give us some concrete basis to move forward on financial into 2019 and 2025. And so I'll just say that 9,000th time.
So you're suggesting that we've been fighting against Summit representation? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm suggesting that we had to have our county assessor spend a tremendous amount of time, effort, energy, and dollars to even put us in a position to look at Summit being on the board and represented. And if over the last couple of weeks that's changed, I'd be happy for the 45th time to step away from the board and get proper representation for the largest landowner within the district that has the most impact on our financials mm-hmm. to be part of this process. Mm-hmm. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, beyond that, can we continue?
I'm good. I've heard the same thing we've heard several times, is what we're guessing uh-huh. Is going to happen.
Uh-huh. So, given our projections as where they are now, we do receive a lot of benefit. The district receives a significant amount of benefit from the platted reservation fees, the fees paid from the platted lots. On the second page, and so basically along the bottom line, you can see that in 2019 you have a fairly significant jump from about 426 and 817, 429 total connect and reserve connections, and then jumping up to about 745. And that does have a significant impact upon the amount of reservation fee revenues will be available to pay for the cost of the system. The second page has the sewer growth projections, which shows nearly the same trend. You have the bump again from 2019 for the Summit Powder Mountain. However, there are some differences in terms of the number of users, such as Sheep Creek, that does add a few more sewer connections than what we have for water. So you see a little bit of a differential between the bottom tables on the two sheets due to that Sheep Creek connection. But once again, same point as water. You have a lot of benefit from the reservation fees as we see this plat 2 added to the growth projections. Any thoughts or questions to this point on that?
Well, that's good news.
Okay. So the second sheet that I'm going to refer to now is this larger coverage table, which fortunately was printed on larger paper here in the projections.
Jennifer, where is yours at? What tab is it under?
Tab number 3. Yeah. It's halfway through there. It folds out.
Printed earlier, so it doesn't have.
than what you have. You have the latest and best.
Okay. So sorry. It appears that what's in.
Thank you.
God, thank you. Awesome. That's still small.
Yeah.
It's significantly larger.
But it is bigger.
It's way bigger.
Okay. So with this sheet here, there are some subtle differences between. So this sheet appears that you have in your packet came out about Thursday. There are some subtle differences between that one and the one that I've provided today. However, I think we can walk through this fairly quickly, and you can get a good sense of what this table is showing. I don't know that those differences will make a difference when it comes down to our final rate sheet that we're going to present. Essentially, if you looked at rows 39, down, that shows our operating expenses. Sorry, on your page, the larger page would be 42. So that is the start of the operational and maintenance expenses. What we've done is categorized them according to salaries and wages, administrative expenses, operational expenses, and then the cost of electricity for power for pumping. For water and for sewer. And so as we look through the operational expenses, we have a total expense of about $530,000. And that is found on the gray column running right down the center at approximately line
86.
That's right. So that is what is anticipated for operations for the 2018 budget. As we move down, I do not have any bonds outstanding for fiscal year 18. However, you will have your Division of Drinking Water bonds starting in 2019. And that would be at row approximately 94.
Yep.
Okay. But then as we move down into the lower sections, there are some capital improvement expenses. And that would be starting at about row 113. And so you'll see that there's repairs, just maintenance expenses, repairs of the water system into the sewer system, the purchase of a crane truck, some work on the shop and offices, some additional water line replacements, and then finally the sewer plant that was anticipated for Summit Powder Mountain as well as the Bloomington well expenses. Now those are not forecasted necessarily all for 2018. Really what's in 2018 is we've got some water and sewer repairs as well as the acquisition of partial acquisition of the crane truck, a lease that would start and go for 5 years starting in 2018.
Can I digress for just a second and
please
ask you, Paul, what is the what is the repairs on the sewer that's anticipated?
Well,
what are those costs covered?
Yeah, what we have is we have three sewer lift stations.
That's what they are.
And also flushing, which I haven't totally programmed yet, you know, flushing out the existing sewer system, getting the dirt out of it and everything so that I'm not grinding rocks in my lift station.
Right. Does any of it have to do with resleeving or anything like that?
At this juncture, I don't know the condition. When they flush it, they'll run a camera and we'll see what we have.
So by flushing, it allows us to do the camera work, which allows us a lot of other information.
Yeah.
I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. The crane truck. Do we understand the need for the crane truck? I want to make sure that that's a big
I'd
question.
Love an explanation.
I would love to give it to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I have to replace a company vehicle, whether it be a pickup truck or a crane truck. What happens is with these sewer lift stations, and now that we're adding lift stations up on the mountain, we need to lift those pumps out at least twice a year, mm-hmm. and clean up the lift station and stuff. I can either hire a contractor at some expense and delay, and especially in an emergency when I have a down like we've had this last year, and try to find somebody to come in and lift them out, or we buy our own one-ton truck with a utility bed. County has one of these, and it's got a small crane on it, that's part of it. and it's got tool chests on the sides and stuff. So I chose to recommend that we buy one of those as opposed to a replacement pickup truck so that we're a little more versatile in our maintenance capability.
So do we must have a slave or a reserve, so you pull one out for maintenance, you put another one in immediately, and then you get the one fixed. You take it to the electric motor company, they got it.
Yes, sir.
We have to buy a truck regardless, so the crane is an additional $60,000-ish? Or?
It's a heavier, if I bought a pickup truck, it's $30,000, a half ton. This is a one-ton truck, you know, dual back wheels, four-wheel drive, with that utility bed on the back of it. So it's the escalated cost of the truck, which is probably closer to 50, and then that utility bed.
Okay. And probably through maintenance, through, of course, you are asking, if I remember right in a previous meeting, you are asking for an increase, or with the employee that's doing this, he's a part-time or a three-quarter mm-hmm. time, and then there was an increase for him as well. So we should see, though, currently you're having somebody else do the work with these cranes, or is he borrowing that equipment?
He's renting somebody with a track hoe to come in.
And so we are going to see a savings on that other line item, because we shouldn't have that expense any longer.
Correct. And it's the emergency response. I mean, when these guys go down, whether it be in the night or in the middle of the day, we've got to get after it, you know, because we'll start, especially down in the lower valley, we'll start flooding if we don't.
So this is a stupid question, but what does it cost when you said we have to lift these things out twice a year with the company coming in with their crane. What does it cost for them to come and do that?
A couple thousand every time.
A couple thousand. And that's twice a year, so you're looking at $5,000, $6,000 a year?
A couple thousand per lift station. So mm-hmm. I've got five in the lower valley, and I'm going to pick up two starting January 1 up in the upper valley, plus another three up there that will come on next year.
So every time that we have to go and do that, there's 10 and it's a couple grand per, so you're looking at 20, 30 grand each time just to do the servicing
and
that you need to do.
Be conservative, let's say even 10 grand each time. Let's say $1,000, because we can bundle them. But they got to transport something up the mountain to be able to lift it out, you know. I
so
with just one man.
So you're looking at 40, just say 30 to $40,000.
Even 20,000 would pay for
it.
It's kind of
a no-brainer, okay. I think.
Yeah.
You get people the right tools, it makes things so much more efficient.
Yeah,
as long
no,
as
just,
we
I
capital, yeah.
Look at apples and oranges and
sure,
see.
Sure, fine.
You know.
No, it's fair.
The only reason I asked is we have so many districts in the Upper Valley. Do other districts have the same piece of equipment that they only use 12 times a year that we could partner with, to where we could share equipment? But if we're using that truck to do all of our other service agreements or service requirements, then it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we've got water meters we need to lift out. We, you know, he's going to have all of his tools on the truck.
Yeah, not a problem.
Mobile office.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're getting granular on this capital expense.
And
you know what I'm going to say. There's a significant capital expense that doesn't appear there. You know, we're at the 30,000 foot level with this, and I just want to suggest that we consider the cost related to connecting, hopefully, a successful Cobabe well with the actual existing system. We're going to require at least two pump stations, reworking all that pipe. It's an anticipated cost that doesn't appear, and you and I, of course, had subsequent discussions acknowledging that and suggesting that it ultimately would have to be factored in.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Oh, and then we have to look at funding sources. Again, I would, as I indicated to you, I'd be looking to a bond, not to be borrowing another, not to be trying to pay for $100,000 out of 1 year's revenue or two.
Bob, what would you What would you call that, Bob? Bloomington Well connection costs? What would you classify that
as? No, James, I'm talking about Cobabe.
Cobabe. Would that be
Our bond gets water to the surface of the ground, but does not deliver one molecule to any customers. So we're going to have to spec that project out, much like we would any other engineering project within the district.
Okay. I'm going to call it Cobabe delivery. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So the point of this sheet is more to look at the expenses, and finally, as we look at the rates, we want to make sure that the district is in good position, first of all, from a debt service coverage ratio perspective, meaning that you have enough revenues, net revenues coming in to appropriately and easily be able to pay for a bond. And so what that means is you got to have a minimum of $1.25 net debt service or net revenues for every $1 of debt service. And so we are exceeding that. We also want to make sure that we've got cash reserves on hand.
So this does that.
This does all of that. So coming down to finally our final sheet here, this represents our proposed rates as we have programmed in the phase two reservation additional units, 314 new units. And so just looking at 2018, the shift from 2017 to 18, I think we had to extrapolate a couple of the 2017 numbers, because right now you have a water and sewer reservation and connection and base fee, sorry, for those connected units, but it's not split out necessarily between Summit Powder Mountain and the original development. But what we're looking at in 2018, as I look at row five, is for Summit Powder Mountain, the base monthly fee that you'd pay for a connected water user would be about $70 a month. You would have then right below that, rows six through eight, a typical residential tiered rate structure. And we would show that 0 to 5,000 gallons would have no cost. 5 to 10 would be $7.35. And then over 10,000 would be $14.70. If you took the overall average cost of water for condos and condominiums, they would be paying essentially a flat price per 1,000 gallons of about $5.17. And then if you were a reserved connection, that would be about $52.50 per reserved platted ERU. The same structure is right below that, starting in row 11 for the original district, where it would be $52 for the original district line connected water rate, and then your tiered structure at $5.51 for the second tier and $11.03 for the third. And then if you were a condo or a commercial, you'd be paying $3.88 per 1,000 gallons. And then for the reservation fee, it'd be $39.38. Any thoughts or questions at the moment? You have a question?
Well, Matt, I assume that you saw the sort of previous guesstimates on what these rates would be, and this is good news from home. You know, the rumor numbers that are on the street in our community are dramatically higher, so we've been able to bring that down considerably, and this is going to work, certainly on the residential side, and on both water and sewer.
So that's great. That's great. The only caveat, is we've assumed those additional reservation platted lots from phase two coming in 2019. If we had any shift on that, that is going to impact these rate numbers. And if we drop it, rates are going to start to climb back up. So.
And right. The problem, and Chair, if you can help me wade through this, because I could be wrong, but Summit has been hesitant to plat properties, because as soon as they plat them, then they have to start paying. And so we've asked them numerous times about properties and why they haven't platted certain properties. Mm-hmm. And so if that is an ongoing model, then they wouldn't plat them for reserved fees. Mm-hmm. So it would be...
Well, they platted phase one at the 100% level, didn't they?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So that would be my only question is maybe we need to reach out to Summit and say, okay, we are building a cost structure based upon 317 platted units. Is that something you're planning on? Is that reasonable to assume that? 313?
Yeah.
313.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable to assume, because we don't want to create a cost structure that is unsustainable? Maybe we should have that conversation with them.
What are your thoughts? I'll add that their financial advisor was in touch with me last Thursday and asked for all of this rate study information, Summits, Dieter, Cody Dieter. I responded back that as soon as the board took a look at this and if they were okay with it, I would release it to him. That will telegraph, and I can send a message if we do something about it today, which I would strongly suggest we do something, because we've got the hearing next month.
Yes.
Then I will send it on to him and indicate to him that, here's our assumption, and, this whole thing either flies or collapses based upon that being true or not. Okay. That's the first thing, and of course I would, you have contact with them, and it would be appropriate to, if you wish.
Okay.
So we could do a two-prong thing if you wish.
I'm happy with you taking
Taking
the lead on it. I just want to be careful that we
understand
we don't have a rate structure, and then this time next year we're in crisis because we've only received a third or a half of those anticipated revenues.
Right.
And now we're going back out to the residents and saying, okay, it's not 70, now it's 180.
Yeah.
Or whatever that issue is.
And fortunately for next year, we'll be okay, but it's the following year that the fan will hit it. So we have all of next year too.
Mm.
And I would take that anticipated revenue and not anticipate the full revenue. That's just my thought process. I would build a little bit of cushion in there because that's what our experience in history has been.
Okay, so I mean the thing we could do, Trustee Ebert, is we could do the 70 I think is fine. This allows us to step in, step the rates over mm-hmm. time. And so we could take a more aggressive approach. You can see that it's a nominal step up, $2.
Mm-hmm.
We could, Matt and I could take a little more of a following your lead. We cut that in half and say 150,
mm-hmm.
And then look at what that does from year 19 mm-hmm. through 24, just so that we have a model that we're kind of following. Would that be?
Well, here's my
your guess.
Here, I was promised 40 units to be built this year.
Right.
We're probably closer to 20 if we're not counting individual townhomes. Mm-hmm. And we probably only have concrete on the ground on 12 to 15.
And
so I just want to there's an understanding of development speed. If we're going to create a cost structure, I just want us to be,
And I'm going to reach out from personal observation here. If those, when they say promise this many units, those are units that the holes are dug and that there's got a building permit, but there's no COs been issued yet.
No.
That's the big, that's for me, is the certificate of occupancy that I'm looking for.
Sure.
So when we say 40 or 24, it's the certificate of occupancy that I keep driving home in my conversations.
And there's only going to be a handful of COs this year.
There's not going to be but one if they're lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple that are getting.
There's one right now.
There's one. Yeah, I think there's a handful that'll get this year.
So that's again, great. This may be apples to oranges a little bit, but I just want us to be, a little conservative. Okay, that's my only thought. Sorry, I'm slowing this down.
So the last little portion that I have is rows 23 to 32, and that just refers to the sewer, and the big difference between that and the one above is, frankly, you don't have the tiers like you would have with water and sewer. And so it's looking at $60 for Summit Powder Mountain on row 26, and then 45 for row 30 if you're a connected sewer user. The reservation is slightly less on row 27 and 31. So,
these rates projections are terrific from my perspective. I would caution, as it relates to looking at the commercial and condo rates, we're going to have to drill down on every single one of those animals and make sure we understand what that actually is. Specifically, if you look at Powder Ridge condos, there's 30 condos up there, with five separate meters, and there's a huge swimming pool. So So we're somehow internally going to have to lump all that together and divide it by 30. There's a couple other condo projects on the mountain that similarly is going to require some additional administrative work. It won't stand in the way of these rate structures passing muster, but we are going to have to clarify our commercial and condo rates. And Paul, I had told you that I would be interested in understanding that better.
Okay, so as far, Bob, as far as you're concerned, let's take, if you go to line 9 up in the, let's go down in the old district. Let's see, we don't have commercial in the old district, do we?
16.
16,
oh,
we do.
16, 388. So it's $3.88 per 1,000 gallons if it's designated as a commercial, whether it's 5 meters or 1. Of course, you get more of a break, I guess, if you have 5 meters as opposed to 1 meter for all 30 units. Mm-hmm. But it's still $3.88 per gallon, per 1,000 gallons. Are you suggesting that we need to define for them that we're going to lump them all together and then?
Precisely.
Okay. I don't know how we bill them that way anyway.
We bill them that way anyway.
Okay. So it would be $3.88 per 1,000 gallons for that condominium.
Whether it's an individual condo or a swimming pool that gets a leak in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Okay. Which is a pretty, I asked Matt Millis to help me with this because he sees the state as a whole, and he's involved in this stuff on the whole. And so these are his suggested numbers based upon what he sees as the, if you will, a norm, and we looked at Park City and other areas.
So we're competitive in the market.
We're relative to the commercial we are. This other one is built around these other models. I mean, it's what it takes to do business.
This is all good stuff.
Okay. Well, if there's no other questions, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, I got more questions. Oh, no, I'm just teasing. I'm just having fun.
It validates my work if there's questions, so I'm happy to answer. Well, thank you very much. Paul, we'll just work and
have this ready for
follow
this
your lead there.
How many people do you anticipate being present at our public hearing? In the past, have you done a public hearing before? On this board?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So how many?
Last year we had about 5.
Okay.
It could be more with the rate adjustments, but you never know. Be ready for a bunch. And
we have to publish the notice and send it out to everybody. So I mean, and Bob, you'll remember, volunteered to work on a letter of explanation, which
I have drafted out.
Which I think now he can, with this, he can finalize it, can't you, Bob? Oh, Bob.
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 I think we lost him.
You should talk to him a little more sternly, Harvey.
Sorry.
He's scared.
An affirmation that I.
Where'd he go?
Seriously.
He's gone.
Sorry. Thank you for pointing that out because I am working on that and it's not going the other way.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it very much.
But we're not done, are we?
Bob
back.
We need Bob back. Bob?
I'm here.
Oh,
he's
here.
Bob's here. Sorry, I'm sorry that Trustee Harvey screamed at you. Okay.
We didn't hear it.
Well, I'm glad I missed it.
Great anticipation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I click the phone when he starts yelling at me. Also, and.
Gosh. All right. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Paul, you okay?
Paul, do you want to explain why we won't hear from Leland today?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, my friend, longtime friend, schoolmate, sent me an email yesterday, which was rare, and he says, I have a problem. I'm in the hospital.
Oh.
I'm going in for surgery today. He had gastric bypass surgery, and he's had complications.
Oh, no.
And so it's pancreatic complications. And he said, well, I could maybe call in the morning. I said,
no.
No. We'll do the best we can. So, you have it. Thank you.
The people are, that's too much dedication.
Yeah, what a guy. He's a good friend. That's, and for good reason.
Wow.
So, you have in your board packet his report.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I can give everybody a quick synopsis.
Sure.
On key points.
Sorry. It's right behind you.
Right behind them.
It's
a 30-page document. And of course, this is in answer to. This is in answer to Summit's request. You know, the next generation sewage treatment up on the mountain. And of course, they were all hyped up about let's get after this and. We can have this thing getting built in the next 30 days, that kind of stuff. And and we said, oh, we need to understand what we're dealing with here rather than just getting the, if I can use the term, the sales pitch. And so I retained the services of Mr. Leland Myers, who has, you know, who's as aged as I am. And has been the most recently retired from the Central Davis Sewer District as their general manager.
Isn't it great to have that kind of experience available to
It us? Is. And this guy, and he was on the state board for this kind of stuff as well, so he understands there's nobody better in the state. I'll put it to you this way. So you have his report, so I'll just, I'm going to pass through it. I won't do it with the same pizzazz and dynamic that he would. It's just fun to listen to him, but... I'll take you through the synopsis. And so, you know, on the on his cover page, he indicates that the most important thing is that the first step is for anybody to embark upon this is to understand what the State Division of Water Quality is going to require. I mean,
I apologize. What's happening?
Pardon?
It's right after that fold out.
Right after the fold out.
The fold out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So thank you. Keep going.
Okay. And so he says even before design can begin, and then he gives us all kinds of regulatory considerations. I'm going to skip page 1, 2. I'll take you to I'm going to take you to page 4. One thing about this area that's, you know, no news to any of you, both as trustees and as commissioners, this area is considered a class 1A groundwater area. Now, what's a class 1A groundwater area?
It's a pristine groundwater area.
There you go. We've got it right there. And so consequently, there are stringent requirements in terms of effluent, sewage treatment, because this is where we get our drinking water, down in this valley and up in that valley. And so they're highly protective of it. So let me take you on now to, so that's an important point to remember. Now I'm on page 7. What does this mean for Powder Mountain? He says, because the area from Pineview to the resorts is an anti-degradation category 1, no surface water discharge, including irrigation or snowmaking, will be allowed by rule. Any subsurface discharge will have to meet the groundwater class 1A requirements, the most difficult of which will probably be 500 TDS, total dissolved solids. Now, just to give you some perspective, I have wells for the other district that I work for as their engineer in Taylorsville Binion that produces drinking water with a total dissolved solids average of 700 TDS. This is 500. This would be a dang good drinking well if you had a well that produced 500 TDS. I mean, it's, wow, celebrate. So that's how stringent that requirement is. And of course, there are other pollutants, he says, further down in the next paragraph that may be of concern, including nitrate standards of 10 milligrams per liter. So all of these criteria, he says, based upon the regulations from the state water quality people, will need to be understood and addressed somehow. He uses as an example the Wolf Creek. And the reason that the Wolf Creek makes it is that they have lagoons, they consider those filtration lagoons. So they go through all of this fancy treatment that's pictured on page 8, and then they drop it into the lagoons outside of the treatment plant, and then it's supposed to then filter into the ground, or be filtered. So he says on page 10, am I going okay for you?
It's fabulous. Yeah.
Fast enough
here? It's just amazing.
He gives 10 possible, or pardon me, page 10, 3 possible conclusions. It can be treated to tertiary standards, which means it runs through some sort of a filtration a method, and then and subsurface discharge into drainage field, assuming it meets the TDS, which we just reviewed, and any other standards or variance in the standards granted by Water Quality Board. You know, standards granted by Water Quality Board when these are EPA rules is going to be an effort. Okay, I'm not going to say impossible, but an effort. And he speaks of hand-holding the staffers down at Water Quality because, you know, this is stuff that this isn't every day for them. Yeah. And then, of course, the second thing is he says that the wastewater be piped down the mountain and treated as above or placed in a lagoon system, assuming the state approves. Now, we have a lagoon system right now, and, of course, so does Wolf Creek have a lagoon system. So that's the other possibility. And then, of course, the other thing is to attempt to change current rules by political means. I'll not address that. I'll not speak to that one, but you understand what that means. Let me take you over to now just one other point he makes, and I'm through with Chapter 1, I'm on to Chapter 2, and I'm on page 2 of Chapter 2. And he talks about the fact that that when it comes to this, and he gives, first of all, you know, he's speaking directly to the biological treatment that Summit has been proposing, and on page 2.
So hold on a minute. Now you said I'm off of Chapter 1, Chapter 2.
You got to get past all the federal stuff, and, you know, there's about 5 pages of document copy. And then
Chapter 2. Biological treatment.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you see all of that stuff published by the EPA. If you go to the next page, please, page 2.
Okay.
Am I doing okay for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Most consultants would not generally be experienced in design of such systems. I'm in the middle of that first paragraph. Mm-hmm. So expert advice would be necessary, and that's because, he said, because the state regulators don't understand this stuff. You have to educate them. Failures of natural systems, I'm in the middle of the next sentence, are primarily the result of poor design or functionality of the pretreatment stage or rapid clogging of the underdrains, which is a failure of the tertiary treatment system. And then it says here, generally design review is done in accordance with state administrative rule. However, this rule does not contain any standards for natural systems other than lagoon. Hence, the need for hand-holding. And then because of the rules described in Chapter 1, the only reuse on the mountain would be subsurface injection. And then he says, at the bottom of that last of that sentence, aquifer storage option will not be reviewed in this report because we don't know what that, you know.
So subsurface injection would be their only way to do this.
To take care of the whole thing. We go on, and he goes on. Of course, they'd say, well, we have a greenhouse. But then he talks about the greenhouse and what that means based upon the rule of the state water quality people. In that he says that, and I'm going to go to page 4 if you don't mind, which is the end of that. I'm going to jump beyond a couple pages, one page, and go to page 4. In summary, since there is no specific design to review, that's the first important thing. The conclusion is that natural systems will provide adequate treatment unless the state decides on extremely low limits because the area is aquifer recharge. There are possible advantages to natural systems. There needs to be considerable effort in educating the staff of the State Division of Drinking Water to receive approval of a complex natural system. And then he goes on to say, because the possible size of this system in comparison to many of the natural systems constructed may be necessary to consider multiple treatment locations rather than one large unit. So That's the, I've given you the essence with far less dynamic and in very few minutes, the essence of his report. State needs to be contacted first. We need to, they need to have a consultant that number one, is that the state is familiar with, and number two, understands these natural systems. So first of all, number one, they've got to be somebody that the state guys have confidence in, not somebody coming in from Schenectady, New York, necessarily. And number two, they understand these natural systems, and he talks about that. You know, there are very few that do. The very large national firms would, to be able to get something like this, to even consider, understand the rules that the state's going to operate under, get the state to consider something different, and then proceed with the basis for design. So that's the process. That's the essence of this multi-page report. Leland's available to consult with, even both from both.
Not
Summit
today.
And us, but
not
today. He's knocked out for right now. So, is there anything I can say further, or I need to say further on this one?
So the bottom line is, the simple thing is, a subsurface injection is the only way to do the kale-to-kale program they're wanting to do.
Yeah, greenhouse, he talks about greenhouse, it would be highly regulated. You're not going to be able to eat it. And he uses an example, Logan. Logan wanted to use their algae that they're producing on their ponds, and the state clamped down on them and said, you know, to put to a field apply,
yeah,
and then use for agricultural purposes.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Nope, didn't go. So, that's all in this report.
So how's the best way, at this point, how do we address this with Summit as they bring it up again?
I think we just send them this study. We highlight the areas of concern, and we see if they have a response. If they have a response that mitigates it, or if they think they can work with the state, then they resubmit, and then we review.
Okay. So you wouldn't have any
problem? Yeah.
We don't have any problem.
The ball's in the record, as James suggests.
So there's no reason not to get this study in their hands.
I would suggest it.
Yep.
I would suggest it. I'll be glad to do it if you so authorize.
Please do.
And when Leland's feeling better, I think he is the one that needs to be the contact, because he understands it. I mean,
he does.
Because what will happen is they'll talk in science, all these terms, and they'll throw out all this verbiage. And I mean, we need to have someone we understand and feel comfortable with talking to them, and then coming back to us and saying this will work or this won't work.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. And their guru has, Leland has interacted with them a bit, so they're
okay.
Aware of him. Okay. So that's fine.
Got it.
I'd be pleased to submit this on to, I guess I'll send it on to Greg, don't I, and his little helper.
Okay.
Don especially.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They've been very quiet lately.
Scary.
And what does that
Thanks
mean?
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Changing horses.
Jeff is out.
He's always doing something.
That's good. Thank you.
I've got a really just most of you are way above my.
All right, manager's report. Go ahead.
I'm interested in this.
Okay, I'll make it through this.
No, because I the last time, especially with the Bloomington well, the last time we were up there, they had another 120 feet to go, maybe,
yeah.
And that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they have now come to depth,
and
now they are going back to do their test pumping. Thank you. Tab 7. And if you like to read Gantt charts, first item in tab 7. And of course, we're at the end of October, so what they're supposed to be doing right now is well development. And at some point, real soon, and I asked their consultant how firm their numbers are, and I got no response, which means it's soft. That they'll start test pumping the middle. Well, they say the 3rd to the 15th. I'll be surprised if they're
of November.
Test pumping their well, which means we got to watch our well closely. And then they want to pump, they want to start really pumping their well, they say, by the 16th of November through the 19th, and we need to watch it even more closely.
Are we still trucking water in?
We are not.
Okay.
And that relative to that, so that's where they are at this point. They're to depth and
close.
And they'll start developing it. Of course, there's a lot of work to go after that. I mean, they can test pump it and say, okay, we got ourselves a gusher. Mm-hmm. But then they've got to build the facilities to be able to put the water into the system after they've proved it up. Mm-hmm. And after we've seen that there isn't, as the in the jargon we use, no communication between Hidden Lake and Bloomington. In mm-hmm. other words, when Bloomington starts, our well doesn't just go to zero, you know. So that's what we'll be watching for.
What is their best time scenario to be actually producing from this? Have they said anything?
They haven't even started building a well house yet.
Right.
Yeah, they've been reviewing certain options with me in terms mm-hmm. of design, and the best one that I like is to add on to the existing well house, mm-hmm. so that I've got all the controls and all the operation in one building. And
they're close enough together.
Yeah, they should. And I think they saw the light finally. They were looking at a separate building, and mm-hmm. I was kind of wrinkling my nose at that, and they saw the light. But that won't happen till next season, mm-hmm. you know, so it won't be till the end of next year before this well is even able to be used if everything pans out. That's where that is. I will add, relative, you brought up the issue of trucking. Mm-hmm. We got the bill for the trucking, which was a shocker. It cost us $4 per gallon to move that water up the mountain. Which gave us a bill of $67,000.
And they had $25,000, right?
They had $20,000 in bond. That's $60,000 now. Thank you.
We've billed them then?
We've billed them. They've said, we'll get you paid. Here's one thing that I'm concerned about. This trucking guy is kind of animated because he expected to be paid right away. And we said, well, we can't. I've got to get a board approval. If, perchance, Summit doesn't pay us by the end of this week, you think we can hold off that long?
She presented it to their people last week. So I'm hoping there's a check in the mail this week sometime.
Okay. If it's not paid by the middle of next week, mm-hmm. then I would like to be authorized to borrow from our funds to pay this guy so he doesn't show up and try to run over my house with his truck. To bridge the gap. Summit is to pay for this. There's a contract that says they will. Mm-hmm. But if they don't pay soon enough, I don't want to ruin our credibility with this tanker guy because we may need him again. Okay. I'm concerned about that.
I would, just say, listen, this is how you explain that. This is the process. Go. Okay, great. And he was okay with that? Or
no.
No.
He was not. He says, somebody promised him 15 days. Now, I haven't been able to find that person.
15 days.
Yeah.
How do we end up going from a $20,000 expected cost to a
$67,000?
We had no idea of how much water would be consumed. And
okay. So how do we not have any idea how much water? Don't we have an estimate from historical values? We should be able to get it down to a couple gallons.
There were some variables going on. The Summit sponsored that some shindig up there that used more water, and okay. There was just some, and then there was construction water issues that we tried to curtail as much as possible. We couldn't.
Do you know what a shindig is?
No, I'm not a shindig guy. I'm more of a
soiree.
No, I'm not
Soiree.
Even a
soiree
guy.
I've been using that word on you since I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was just wondering because we have a tendency. I don't understand why, not just here, to completely underestimate things all the time and be a third or more off.
300% over.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
I don't like to be the little bit.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Because it's hard to go to somebody and say, pay this much, and then come back 3 months later and say, oh, it's triple.
Yeah.
So did we, was our agreement based on a per gallon rate, and it's simply just that there were more gallons hauled, or is there any possibility that his billing was something that we didn't agree to? I mean, how comfortable are you in that?
I believe we understood his per gallon rate.
So that's what it was, is a per gallon rate, and it's just the simple
fact
that
we didn't understand the
number of trips.
All right. Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
Okay.
It is what it is.
The new well status. We're not, as I'd hoped, we're not drilling yet. Our driller hasn't arrived yet. As drillers are, he hasn't arrived yet.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should hire Summit's driller because they got on and drilled it, right on schedule.
Yeah, and they pay, there's one, there's 30% more for them. They gave mm-hmm. us a bid.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way we bid stuff, we're probably right on to start with.
That wasn't very nice.
I'm loving you, Paul.
I'll take it. I had a piece of candy just to be able to give him the interview to take those broad hits. So he's not there yet, but then his contract says he has till the end of next season to get it done. So even if he doesn't start now as much as we'd like him to,
yeah.
It's his contract.
His timeline. Okay.
It'll, you know, we'll hold him to his deal. Mm. Next thing is, and we've had some other issues too. State drinking water has bowed their back. They thought that before we started, we should line the sewer line that goes past the well, which is a requirement, and we acknowledge that. But we said to them, wait a minute, we got to know we have a well, and we'll do it later. Well, no, we want you to line it right now, even before you start drilling. We said, no.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
So if we get it dry, then we put all that money into nothing.
Yeah, so we're working through the bureaucracy. We've had UDOT bureaucracy to fight. Now we've got drinking water bureaucracy. We're working through it to get an exception.
Bob, can you make a couple phone calls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a project for Trustee Harvey.
I don't think you're thinking clearly.
All right.
Okay, moving
rolling.
Right along. Moving
rolling,
right along.
Run out of time.
Quick.
Yeah.
You have here, and I don't expect anything more than just please your review. You have... I started with what Trustee Reynolds did, and then I plagiarized something from my other client.
Where do you think they're going?
This is rules and regulations. And what I did here is I'm bifurcating. How's that for a word?
It's a good one. I like it.
Okay, I'm bifurcating water from sewer
I understand.
In terms of rules and regulations.
Okay, great.
So this
awesome.
One is for water.
Water.
So if you would, I know you want to read it. Take a look at it. I'd like for us to act on this by the end of the year, if not by January at the very latest, to adopt this. You know.
Yep.
So,
thanks for your efforts, Paul. That helps a lot.
And then I'm starting immediately on sewer now.
Okay.
Then everything that Greg has been harping on is done. You know, rules and regulations.
Yep.
Okay. The repair costs on lift station 5 and 6 up on top of the mountain, which services the single family home that's built. What's the name of the road that they're built on?
Spring Park.
Mm-hmm. Horizon Loop.
Well, yeah, right below Horizon, but it's Spring or Summit Pass. It's Summit Pass goes into Spring Park.
Okay, Summit Pass. These were damaged in the snowstorm, and I've talked to Trustee Ebert about this.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that our cost by the time we've got to replace control boxes,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to replace the frame on one of them or fix the frame on one of them because it was hit by something.
Right.
My guess is a snowcat. And that's going to cost our outside estimate right now is our upside estimate. And it'll go down from here.
Okay, let's hope.
$26,000.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. By the time you replace all the boxes, all the guts, because they've been ruined, and then have plenty of candy. And then have the electrician come up and do the live.
Paul, since it was a snowcat that destroyed these things, can any of this cost be put back onto Summit?
Can we prove it?
Now, there are three more that are damaged that I'm not touching, and I'm going to, unless you tell me otherwise, I'm going to insist that Summit pay for the repair on those.
Do we need to build some structure around these to protect them a little better?
Ultimately,
because
we do.
I'm going with that right now.
It's
going to
get destroyed every year, then.
An 8 or 12 inch pipe filled with
mm-hmm.
concrete that sticks up
mm-hmm.
out of the
mm-hmm.
higher next
than
time.
Yeah.
Next time somebody hits it, they'll know they hit it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the damage for $25,000 won't be to our piece; it'll
right.
be to theirs.
Be to
yeah.
them. Exactly.
Yeah. Summit maintains that we somehow accepted these two. They were on the private road, and we accepted them. I
mm-hmm.
I can refute that, but as we've talked, as we, this is your conscience. As we've talked about as we've talked about that in terms of, again, I consider this an impact fee thing because mm-hmm. it's purely for new development. Sure. At the very least, I got to get them running before the end of the year because I've got a house coming online.
Right.
So we can then quantify our damages, and then if we want to go back on Summit for all or part, we can. Mm-hmm. But I'm proceeding right now. The new controls are in. Also, there will be telemetry added, but Greg has told me personally that he will pay for that because I've said from day one, I want telemetry on all those, and he said, I'll pay for those, so that's a separate cost item. So that's where it is right now, just for your information.
The discussion point for that is Summit said that they had them built, and then the Summit was supposed to take ownership of them. Mm-hmm. And so in their mind, the district owns them.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, because the district didn't do the paperwork to own them doesn't mean that they should not have assumed ownership. But that being said, I do agree to the extent that probably the damage was somehow associated with maybe some traffic up there associated with Summit. Mm-hmm. But if we're supposed to take ownership of them, we probably need to get them fixed. Build something around them take ownership.
I've been up there and seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
We just gotta communicate better. And get that done.
I don't mean to disrespect your pictures. Show me the pictures, but that's just a phenomenal amount of money. And so we're basically once we get them fixed, we're going to give them to Summit.
No,
we're going to transfer them.
We own them.
Okay, then what I would like to do also is spend. It shouldn't be more than $1,000 a corner, but spend another $1,000 a corner, $4,000 to put at least 8-inch pipes in there, and I'd like them out of the ground six feet tall. That'll be taller than the structure, but I'd like them just filled with concrete. While they're digging, that for $20,000+, you're gonna have to take some kind of an excavator up there or a hoe to dig to move these pipes. So let's have them dig the hole, fill them with concrete, put a big footing underneath them, and
So nobody,
we don't do this ever again.
Yeah.
Or there's got to be a common process or procedure districts use to protect these. Whatever we usually do, let's take those precautions now instead of having.
And just if maybe the cowboy way to do this, the cheapest way to do this is to just take some 8-inchers and fill them full of concrete. Yeah. That's what they do from industrial sites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They usually don't stick out of the ground more than 4 feet, but those things are out of the ground 4 or 5 feet. Then it's a snow thing. So let's make them 6 feet. You buy a 10-foot piece of pipe and you put 4 feet in the ground and call it good.
Mm-hmm.
Fill it full of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the other issue we had was I said last fall, we're not operating these things. Summit, it's yours. We're not going to take them until we need them. So consequently, they got buried with snow. Mm-hmm. And we didn't go to them anything. Now that we've got these two that are going to be live, we'll be on top of them, figuratively and literally, so they'll be shoveled off to some extent also by our new full-time employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. We'll do something of that nature. All right, I'm done, Mr. Chair.
Wow, that was good. Okay, so, moving then to our action items, we have the two listed.
We can't do that until we hear from the public.
Why? The Sheep Creek item 10?
No, the Sheep Creek we already, the resolution, but the item 10 is the discussion on Mr. Casey Welch. That gentleman over there.
Yeah, so Casey's right here.
What do you mean until we hear from the public?
Well, we can't act on the action.
Well, let's tell him.
Okay, you want to go ahead and do that?
Say something.
Okay.
Yeah, just give us the background.
Okay, well, I didn't know if you were waiting for him to.
No, you said you'd start off.
All right. Mr. Welch, who's the gentleman that in public over here, called me for an inspection on his lot. He was ready to have his final inspection done. And there is a... that we implemented last year, there's a $500 fee for the inspection to put the cap on. He lives in the lower valley, he's not up on top. The cap that we put on, the locator cap for Evan to go out, do the inspection, finalize everything so he can get his right to occupy. And he was upset that we were going to charge him because the fee was implemented before or after
he was served his will serve letter. And his will serve letter was, I can't remember if it was January last year. Anyway, this was passed at the budget hearing in November last year, December. And so he was a little upset with that. Well, there was a conversation because there's other properties that have, you know, had their will serve letters right previous to us passing this. Conversation between me and Paul was it was passed. They paid the fee. Paul was out of town, so I went along with, I mean, everybody, you know, went along with the fee. I can't not take the fee away and not charge everybody else for it. So, anyway, he paid the fee so he could get his occupancy because it was his occupancy. He was ready to sign on the house previous to Paul coming back and previous to this meeting. So basically, he is here to speak to everybody about his fee and why he doesn't feel he should have to pay it, basically.
Okay, great. Thanks for the background. Rachel or Paul, anything before we let?
No.
Mr. Welch, right? Casey, right?
Yes, it's Casey.
Okay. Thanks. Go ahead, you can stand up so we can see you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Since day one, and I'm kind of getting education on, obviously, I want to spend time with you guys today to understand this is as a community member of the Yountain Valley, kind of trajectory of the sewer company or the sewer district, right? Since day one, though, I'm breaking ground up there as a builder. My background by education is urban planning. When we broke ground, even before breaking ground, Water Mountain was the sewer district, and the approval of that process was just a huge moving target. And I know at that time you guys were going through a lot of changes between Paul Southwick and where we are today. And I think that contributed to a lot of the confusion, just to know who to talk to, who to approach to getting the approval to connect and what those guidelines are was a challenge. And to understand the fees associated with that connection was also a challenge. The short end of it is I was told that I needed to contact Paul Southwick, that he was the point of contact. I worked with him to get the sewer installed to his standards. He inspected it. He came out. After that, he provided the will serve letter. I think it was after that. Actually, couldn't write before. I think it was after. And that document was provided to the county here. And historically, before the meeting that Carrie had referenced that had been had last year, November or December last year, that will serve letter had also served as the connection inspection, because the inspection had already been performed previous to getting that letter. A lot of confusion is kind of a moving target. I'm not willing to, and I've expressed this as respectfully as I can, to pay the $500. I feel like this is something I should be grandfathered in to avoid that fee. I do own the property up there in Sheep Creek. I'm willing to pay that $500 now that I've been properly informed and again, understanding the moving target that this challenge has been. That's really the short end of the story. Since day one, I know that the inspection fee is to geolocate the lateral, I think, coming in outside the house. That's why Evan typically comes out. That had already been performed by Paul. I've got the paperwork that we used to do that. Where that was. That's my grievance. I think I've shared that with a few of you guys here on the table, but that's pretty well it. I paid the $500. Well, I had the certificate of occupancy that I needed to get done. I felt like that was kind of held in collateral. I paid the $500. So I went ahead and paid the $500 and I'm sort of retroactively requesting that I might get reimbursed for that, depending on the decision.
Trustee, it sounded like, looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, how is this? So I'm one that has heard Mr. Welch's situation and having a little experience in the building industry. It sounds to me like, unless I'm misinformed, that this is a unique situation because he had an inspection already done by Mr. Southwick before all this stuff came together. What am I missing on all this? And I've looked to you, Paul, on that. What am I missing on that? You were away, or I would have called you right then. So I'm missing something, or this is truly a unique situation because of the Southwick involvement?
Yes, both, I'd say.
Okay.
Let me take you back to the reason for the inspection fee. The inspection fee is not only final check to make sure that the lateral is put in correctly, that the clean out is where it should be, to put a locator on the, put a special cap
on
the locator on the clean out. That then also to document where that clean out
Got
is,
it.
The measurements, the filing of that information with the office. So there's the administrative cost of having all that data, because the day will come, not when he's around, but after, somebody's going to say, I need to know where that lateral is, and they'll come to us and we can find it for them. We have it on file. So this was an administrative thing.
I don't mean to treat you like a VCR. Can I pause you for just a second?
Got it.
So.
You got to say it quicker. So.
No.
Yeah, that's how he says it.
I've got it. Did Powder Mountain Water and Sewer District do all these things at that lot?
Prior? No.
Have they done them already?
No.
Now, yes, Evan did, so he could have his occupancy.
That's
but the information that was provided to Evan or us prior to that, Mr. Southwick did not provide.
No.
So he didn't do his job.
Again.
Okay, keep going.
Well, that's it, in essence. There's the procedural effort, and there might be, we had to come up with a flat rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking the flat rate might include, we don't distinguish lower valley from upper valley. Mm-hmm. It's a flat rate.
May I again, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
I'm concerned that we would set a precedence, but I would like to be informed what precedence would we set. I'm in favor of Mr. Welch's situation only because it's not his fault that he dealt with someone who didn't finish what they had promised to do or met the current terms or things that we do now. I mean, 10 years ago, we don't have caps on everything and locators and exact geotechnical mapping,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. I mean, so I see this as somewhere in between. So that's my statement on that.
Okay.
But the question though is would we be setting a precedence, or have we required others to pay under other things? I guess what I'm saying is that's my preference. But if we set a precedence, or we've already in part of what we've discussed in past meetings by saying no to some of the other requests, but they seemed like those were different. Those had to do with will serves and things like that. This is a unique situation. I'm faulting nothing that's been done, by the way, Carrie. This is not in any way personal or anything. I just think this is a unique situation.
It is, and yet it isn't. I have here a list of all the other lots that have paid $500, when Southwick started them, and we've had to finish it. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 so far.
With 4 still outstanding,
and
waiting.
And 4 more to go.
4 more to go.
Are those your 4?
No. One of the 7 is his, that's in this count right here. We have 4 more that have got the will serve letters issued. Yeah.
5 then. Even with his protest.
With his protest, yes.
So there's 9 plus his.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just interject, if I'm going to be included in that list, and you're comparing lots that haven't been dug yet versus some that are mid-construction, so I think it'd be fair apples-to-apples to consider some that are mid-construction have already broken ground under Paul Southwick versus mm-hmm. ones that haven't.
This is where I'm at. It's because this guy's got a certificate of occupancy right there,
mm-hmm.
where the others are not. So this is a whole different deal.
We have 7.
7 that have.
That
are already broken ground?
That are
nope,
paid.
That are paid and unmoved in and
COs.
Have their occupancy.
They have COs since January 16.
Oh, they've paid.
They've paid the $500.
And there's 4 that are just broke ground, and we just have to get out there to do them.
Now they'll know the 4 that broke ground. They know of this, but
yes.
we admit that he could have been grandfathered in, and
mm-hmm.
We didn't have any communication with him because
no.
we didn't know where he.
I just go back to, I struggle with when we make a mistake,
we don't eat it. And if we had, I don't know if this happened, but if we had a poor employee or a bad process, and we're dealing with individuals who are working in good faith, then we should be the ones held accountable. They shouldn't have to pay for mistakes that we've made.
But this brings up the non-billing.
You betcha it does.
You betcha it does. We decided, mm-hmm. went back statutorily a certain amount. I was on the opposite side, so mm-hmm. not their fault. I changed my position when, my husband pointed out, everybody else paid, so why, if they get off, then you should let everybody not have to pay. So I changed my position on that. So if you have this many that have paid, again, we screw up, they pay, we don't, but that's the position we took last time. So
I have no problem if they want to come in and they want to petition based upon a specific circumstance. I think we look at it. That's the one hit we have as government, is that we make mistakes and then we make everybody else pay for it all the time.
Right.
And so, yeah, it does create a precedence. Sure it does, but...
Mine's a legal question. Did we really screw up? I mean, at some point we have to say, okay, here's where our new policy begins. And we may not know exactly where everyone is in a particular process, but we say here's where our policy begins. We publish that, notice it, mm-hmm. Pass a policy or a procedure as part of a public meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, well, I didn't know that my property taxes were going up.
Right.
Well, it's not our responsibility to tell everyone
mm-hmm. right.
what their property tax is going up. It's their responsibility to pay attention to that. So,
right.
at
it
what point did
like
we really screw up? And did
well, if somebody
not
has
that someone else
if somebody has
up,
all the paperwork in their hand, they've been told that they can occupy. They've been told all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're not going to be looking for this stuff anymore because there's no reason to. They've been promised that they've met everything that their district requires. They've had their inspection, they have all their paperwork, they're ready to go, they start their process, they build their home, then when they get to the last step, oh, by the way, we have a new process and you owe $500 or $1,000 or $10,000 more.
Yeah.
That's where my problem, that's where I stumble a little bit, because I just think, okay, there needs to be a set of stuff. We need to understand that some people may be in the process that they may, and I'm not saying Mr. Southwick did anything wrong, I'm just saying that I thought I heard an inference that there was something that he didn't do within that process that may have mitigated this a little bit for us. That's just my thoughts. I don't necessarily say I'm right. I'm just saying I just struggle sometimes with that.
I'm
just concerned about that date, right? And if we are going to go back, on a particular date, then it just seems like we open a whole can of worms. But
what's
that
date?
For the legal.
Thank you. What was the date?
When
you're just talking
we
philosophically.
When did we pass this?
Oh, the
budget
date
hearing.
You?
Last year?
Last year at the budget hearing. November, December, something like that.
Does this
but I would just say that most people are probably thinking from this date forward, this will be our fee. And there we were, at least specifically for me, I'll talk for myself. I wasn't thinking there were some people that were anticipating. And now we are adding $500. I was thinking that this would be this date forward we would have this cost. And those that were in the process, or those who were already given the paperwork and told they were ready to roll, they wouldn't be held.
They'd be guaranteed.
Yeah, now if there's...
I think there's a difference between those that have, like you said, broken ground and already have some sort of approval paperwork.
And an inspection.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, is there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it, now we're saying we've got to have, we've broken ground, we have the inspection, and now things change, and now we need a different inspection, and you go a lot along and you don't find out you need a different inspection until a future date, or even in time when you come in and get your certificate of occupancy. That's just, philosophically speaking, They're everyone is different. I see this as a unique situation, and that's all there is to it, based on the construction principles and values and foundations that I've been associated with. It seems logical to me. I realize, what Representative Reynolds, what's our title here?
Trustee
Reynolds. Sorry. TR, it's the name.
We call her Queen.
Yeah.
That's her title.
She makes a good point as it relates to some of the other things that we've already made with regards to three or four meetings ago. And so this was a unique situation. And it was at my encouragement that Mr. Welch is here, or I suggested that he come here because it seemed unique. If I were in his shoes, I would do the same thing.
So legally, what I was going to say is usually you guys just have to have what's called a rational basis for your decision making. So
Well,
we're out. We're out. Meeting's over.
I'm sorry, I'm not rational. I can't.
Honestly, you would. I could justify this either way, the direction you'd want to move. Okay. There is a line of argument about vested rights, which just popped in my head now. I mean, I know that I had talked to Carrie a little bit about this before, but I don't think I understood the full extent that there had already been some inspection done.
Mm-hmm.
The vested rights doctrine, though, it's, and I'm just going off of memory here, but it's something about when you are developing property and you, once you get your approval, then you're vested as of the date of your approval to whatever laws are in place at that time, and they can't impose new laws on you. However, I'm not sure if that applies to districts. I know that that's a rule under...
It applies to common sense.
County and municipalities, there's direct statutory authority. I'm not sure if it applies to districts, so we are restricted by that.
So.
And I'm also not sure, even if it does apply, if it applies in this situation, because I don't know what sort of quote, approval he had from us that would have vested him. I don't know. I don't know all the details.
And Carrie, I applaud you for taking the stance you did in the circumstance.
Right,
without
and she talked to me about it at the time too, and I confirmed with her that position at the time. So I mean, it wasn't just her. But just hearing more of the facts now, I could be swayed the other way. But I think it's gonna in this situation come down to a policy decision. I think you'd be fine holding him to the fee, but. Obviously, you'd be allowed to grant exceptions, understanding the consequences. In terms of like, oh, we're worried about setting a precedent, it looks like we're only talking about 7, 8, is that what we're talking about, homes that might come back and ask for it, and you'd probably have to be prepared to give them the same deal, assuming that they had similar facts.
Similar circumstances.
Circumstances.
Sorry to interrupt. I do have to leave in about 2-3 minutes at the very latest.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest on this? What's your thoughts?
I would suggest that we go halfway with him, and the reason is that we have incurred costs on this. We've provided product. We have provided a certain service that we had to. There will always be two inspections: one when the line's laid, and one when it's time for them to get the CO. Always.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest to this board that we split the baby with him. In other words, 250.
So that would cover the hard costs in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a whole parable about that.
There's a
splitting the baby wasn't the best thing to do.
Yeah,
I don't want to go against the scriptures or anything.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. And I'm still not entirely clear what was done before and whether that was intended
sure
as the same thing that this is.
I'm with you on that, Rachel. I'm with you.
Because if it wasn't, then I think this is something different. It's
This one is completely different.
I
can see the difference between.
I don't know.
Do we need a motion?
If the previous thing was intended
to
be this inspection.
Bob, any thoughts, Bob?
There we are, Swami.
Yeah, I mean, at the onset of this meeting, weren't we cautioned by our chairman to not engage in these kind of off-the-agenda conversations?
Well,
so, Bob,
I find it valuable. Don't get me wrong.
Bob, I screwed up because I didn't see that this was listed as an agenda item, so we're actually discussing it under an agenda item at the bottom of the agenda.
H10.
Yeah.
Action
H10.
So when
H10, discussion and or action.
Right.
Yeah, that's my fault because when he wanted to talk in public comment, I thought that it was that we were going to talk about it in public comment, and then I was told that it was on the agenda, so I apologize for that.
It is
fair enough. You know, process check.
That makes me happy.
Carrie's here leaving in 2 minutes.
Listen to me, Bob.
Bob, what are your thoughts?
Well, I did. I
appreciate it. Do you have any thoughts on the issue itself,
Bob?
Now that we've talked about it?
No, I agree with Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see it's such a little amount, $250, that we just refund the full amount. That's my thoughts.
I'll second that motion.
I say we move to refund the $500. You know, this is a different, that I can see the difference between this and the previous that we, a couple months ago, incurred, that you all flipped me on my position. I say we refund the $500. That's my position.
Let's move in a second.
So. Are you okay with
you
that?
You got a second? We can't split the baby. Not over $250.
I would, however, like Paul to talk directly with Mr. Welsh. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Welsh. And make Welsh and make sure that we have
everything
lined out, because I think this is a particular situation.
At a particular location, and right. He's got some other lots. I think
so
this is all going to be good.
If someone else comes back, we can make sure that, I mean, I think this is a very particular situation.
Would we have a responsibility to be proactive in contacting others, or they'd have to?
No.
All right. Jennifer, is that what you, did you make a motion?
I make a formal motion that we refund his $500 because we screwed up. Oh, we don't need to say that part.
I'm not sure that you did, honestly.
Due to the extreme circumstances and the unusual circumstances in this matter, I move that we refund the $500 inspection fee.
And it was seconded by Trustee Ebert. Any further discussion? Yeah. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
That would be nay or aye.
No,
or
he came in as an aye.
No. Okay. Was there one more thing? Paul, I can't remember the discussion.
We already did the resolution.
Did the resolution? Okay, so we're all good. So
trustees report.
I've got to run.
You're
Bob.
Good. Yeah, we would be good.
Well, nothing else on that. Okay, then we can make a motion. Have a motion to adjourn.
Second. So move.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We're adjourned.
Yes. I knew it was.
Okay. I'm not in favor of adjourning.
Okay. You can stay on the line.
Bob, you can talk to yourself all you want. We're all leaving. Bye, Bob.
He wanted to go.
Didn't even say goodbye.
No. I wanted to go into closed session.
We don't have a closed session on this.
We do.
We do.
Oh, we did. We had the ability to go into closed session, but nothing in particular.
No.
Other than what you wanted.
Do you want these back?
No. We're good, Sean. Do you want them? If not,
keep
I can.
Get that for reference when you.
Yes, because you have to read all this.
Yeah.
So you're going to take our books back again, Carrie.
Yeah. Do you want stuff
I just
in there?
I take
do you want the
out?
Book? If you want the
if
book,
if you want it,
the
just
book.
Go ahead and.
I just take everything out. I take and leave her the tabs and let you can read.
But you
the
can
tabs
have you can have the book. Yeah. If you like it, take it.
I just want to make sure that I'm prepared for the meeting.
For the public hearing, 2 weeks.
Do you guys like getting the emailed version of this thing?
I have everything in my. I have everything electronically that I need.
Yes.
I'm okay.
You email everything again.
Yeah,
I know
that's what we're doing to all of you.
Yeah.
Is it a waste of paper? Or is it a waste of energy to email it to you?
A lot of this stuff, I'm...
No, because we get to review before we get here.
And I'm with Jennifer, but there'll be a time for me coming up here in the next month or two that you can eliminate mine. I'm getting more and more... I'm getting more and more acquainted with doing this electronically.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon you'll send it electronic like you do to Bob.
Turning green.
And then I'll just go through it electronically.
Okay.
So, well, it's just right. It's just easier to keep this.
Hello. Okay, all right. See you, sir.
Have it with you wherever.
Right.
Jim, you're gonna walk down for 10 minutes with me and then leave?
No, I'm not gonna do anything with you because you told me I couldn't have any more chocolate dip.
Well, that's because you already had 5 of them.
I had like 7. Thank you very much for counting.
It's got like caffeine in it.
I'm having my lunch right now in the 4 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock at night for me right now.
Yeah, you got a lot of time to go. Go shoot some fromage.
Okay. I'm going to Costco to get some fromage.
Hey, go to Beehive Cheese. Go up on.
Oh, Beehive Cheese.
Go down to Weaver Canyon. Go to Beehive Cheese.
That problem was the only one that you signed before
you
left.
By your picture sports is down the
bottom.
That
was only one.
Weber, not Ogden Canyon. Come down the hill, Weber Canyon.
Yeah.
It's like it's now you're going to the trellis or the trail track.
There's
a light there. Go left. There's a Best Western right there.
Oh, yeah, I know where you are. Yeah.
Just go past the Best Western. It's right there. They make the cheese there.
Yeah, because that always says cheese curds.
Especially this month. Our fiscal year end is October 31st.
Wow.
So anything that comes in before that date.
I need
like
my
bonus.
Fromage.
All right, let's see if we can do that.
Oh, my gosh.
Find you.
I can't miss that. All
right. Miller.
Yeah, we just threw back yesterday.
Program.
I have no idea where I am.
Go take a nap.
Well, we leave in a week to go to Morocco for 2 weeks. I'm like, this travel this year is just killing me. I love it, but it's killing me.
Are you still recording?
Oh.
Let's see.